This is CliffCentral.com.
Today's show is about the industry of fashion. And we are joined by a magnificent lady. So a bit of background about today's guest. So Loayo Art Creations is the brand founded by my guest today. And she is Moroccan-born and South African-based artist by the name of Lobna Owache. She's going to correct me if I butcher it. So Lobna's philosophy has led her to move her passion for painting beyond the canvas into the world of modern fashion, bringing her masterpieces to life, really. Lobna spends hours with her paintbrush creating fine art that is then carefully transferred onto fabrics before she designs and then creates wearable masterpieces. Only Lobna's paintings are to be found on Loayo's fabrics with a very limited production. So each garment is designed with great attention to detail in order to bring a story full of originality, creativity, happiness, and provided the foundation for the cornerstones of the brand. And that those cornerstones are happiness, vibrancy, innovation, and creativity. So Lobna is very unconventional African woman. Her art and fashion are very modern, creative, and bold. She's an abstract expressionist. She's got a PhD in literature. Guys, you know, her CV is so impressive. But for now, without any further ado, let's welcome to studio Lobna. Welcome to the Youth Leadership Platform.
Hi, Bongani. Thank you for inviting me. It's
thank
cool
you.
To be here.
Thank you for coming to hang with us. It truly is a pleasure to sit with a woman of your stature and magnitude. Knowing of your travels, of your accomplishments, of your CV as well, and your art.
Thank you. Your words are so touching.
I've been looking forward to this interview. So without wasting any further time, we'll start with, our trivia for the show. And the first question I want to ask you is, what does your past smell like?
I would say orange blossom.
Okay.
It's a very dear smell to me because it reminds me of my sweet childhood in Morocco, where I was born. And we used to go actually quite often to my aunt, who now she's in heaven, but she used to have this farm. And most of the family, I mean, her brothers and so my dad, who is as well in heaven now, and kids, we used to go to her and spend a few days in holidays with her. And her place was full with these orange trees. And the smell was just divine, you know. And, you know, I mean, it does smell divine, but as well, we use it in food, you know. It's not only about the smell. We use it. We put it in the mint tea. So every time I'm somewhere, it happened to me in every single country where I walk, especially in garden centers, for example, and I will like, and then, oh my gosh, I go back years and years and years, and I re-see the whole sceneries, the whole place, and the trees, and magical trees.
Wow. Okay. What does it sound like?
The sound would be, again, you know, I think I miss so much my country, even if I am in this amazing country, and I feel really home, because coming from the north and living now in the south, in this beautiful, amazing African continent, I still miss my country. So I think all these questions now you're giving me are just bringing me childhood.
Nostalgia
and childhood souvenirs. So I would say that I'm a big fan of classical, we say Arab Andalusian classical Arab music.
Okay.
It's just to tell you quickly what is it. It's a combination of Arabic music with somewhat flamenco as well.
Oh, okay.
It's very, very interesting music. And as a child, I was 7, I still remember where my mother took me to a music school.
Sure.
She really wanted me to learn how to play piano. And at the same time, it was important because we love in our family, we love the Arab Andalusian classical music. It's big in Morocco. It's like Morocco's classical Arabic.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
It's very present in the north of Morocco, but as well in different parts and specific regions, like I'm from Fez. So it's very, very present for the people coming from the city of Fez.
Hmm.
So it was something she wanted her child to. So I did 4 years, actually, of this music. And it's an amazing music, but it is sung in Arabic, and it is performed by men, so really men normally.
Okay.
Dressed in traditional clothing, mm-hmm. like jalaba and tarbush, and it's amazing. And you will hear them in ceremonies, the religious ceremonies, weddings as well, and it's amazing. When you just have time to just listen, sit and listen, the lyrics are spiritual as well, and I love that music. So when you told me the sound, yeah, I think it's for me.
It takes
that.
You there.
Yeah, it takes me there.
What does it taste like then?
The taste, again, it will be Morocco. It will be, again, I miss my mom's food. I manage to do quite good food as well, but hers, I mean, she excels. She's a very, very, very good cook, and I miss her couscous. That's the taste I always have. In, you know, couscous is like starch.
Okay.
It's actually what we do. We rub semolina until it becomes like a grain, and then we steam it, and it becomes fluffy and light.
Okay.
And then we accompany that with meat, vegetables. It can be as well with almonds, dates. So couscous, it's one of the most popular, I would say, food in Morocco. And in Morocco, there's a tradition every single Friday, people will cook couscous.
Oh.
Yeah, and it is served in like communal way. It's in a big dish and you just help yourself. It's very special time. It's Friday. Fridays is couscous day. Yes.
Oh, okay.
In Morocco.
Let's get a bit into your childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Take me back to Morocco. What were some of the things you loved doing growing up as a young girl, and what were some of your ambitions in Morocco as your younger self?
It's funny because I will tell you something, and that's the truth. I never had the ambition of living in Morocco.
Okay.
Never. Truly.
For a person that has traveled.
That traveled
yeah,
a lot.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But you know, sometimes you don't need to travel to really take the plane to travel. You can travel in your country.
Sure.
I was quite happy there. I had very happy childhood with my parents and my brother sisters. And Morocco is Africa, you know. We are very
sure.
family orientated.
Sure.
And So I left Morocco actually just to further my studies. I did quite a bit in Morocco, and then I left for France to continue my studies.
Mm.
The only thing is that the fate decided differently, and I met my husband, who is French.
In France?
No, we met in London.
Oh, you met in London?
We met in London.
So,
yeah.
So take us through that love story.
That was really, I would say it was an amazing fate.
Okay.
Because, yes, I met my husband, who is French, at my brother-in-law and my sister home.
Okay.
So they used to work. He was doing his internship in the same company where my brother-in-law was working.
Okay.
And here I was there visiting my sister, and yeah, magic in the air. And yeah, 2 years after that, we married.
Really?
Yeah. So I never went back and lived in Morocco again, like living months and years. But I go every year, of course.
Just to visit.
To visit, of
yeah,
course.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, yeah, I mean, Morocco is Morocco.
So you beat your husband, you married 2 years after meeting.
Mm.
You look at today's society now, juxtaposing the two, right?
Mm.
Right now, we are even afraid to date. We are afraid to take those steps. Like, I know a lot of people that just don't want to be in relationships, let alone the thought of marriage. At the time when you met your husband, what led up to the point where you decided that, you know what, this is the person I want to spend the rest of my life with?
When we met and after we spoke, it felt as if really we knew each other for years.
Wow.
It was amazing. And actually, my husband, at that time, he said that after the first week he knew I was going to be his wife.
Sheesh.
For me at that time, not
yet. Talk about a very determined man.
He said he knew. He always said, I knew you were going to be my wife. And at that moment, I wouldn't tell you that when I met him, marriage was something that came natural.
Sure.
You see what? You don't plan, really. These things, important decisions in your life, you shouldn't bring them quickly. You should. You need to leave them. You need to feel them. So they come to you naturally. For me, it was the natural achievement of our love, our understanding, and our commitment to each other.
And then how did you overcome the fear then of, I'm literally about to commit to something as grand and as beautiful as well as this?
You know, when you're in love, you don't even think too much about commitments and all this. You know, all you want is to be with the one you love.
Sure.
So it becomes like you don't think much. You just want to be with that person. I just wanted to be with him.
So where was the first place that you settled?
It was Russia.
Russia?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. How was Russia?
Russia was amazing. It's such a beautiful country. I would say Russia had very big impact on me today.
Okay.
On my art, on, I wouldn't say my creativity, because my creativity, I think I owe it to Morocco, to continent Africa. I'm African, you know, with this vibrancy. But I think Russia was, because creative, I showed creativity quite young age. But not in painting, in many different, like designing clothing. I was like, really around 14 years old.
Sheesh.
What I wanted was to really do sketches and taking my sketches, you know, very modest sketches, to a seamstress. And I had this love of texture already then, you know, buying my fabric and dreaming of having something just for me, unique, you know. And I used to love that truly at that age. So, but in painting, not much at that age. And writing, I used to write nicely. I don't know about now, but but it's just because this is another, always been musical as well. So many arts, but painting as such, it's only when I went to Russia. Russia was like a revolution happened into my body, into my whole system.
Okay.
Art everywhere, exhibitions. I used to live not far from Hermitage Museum, which is, it's an amazing museum. And I used to spend days there. Every time there was an art exhibition, I was there. I had many friends, artists. So art everywhere around me. And that, I felt that really urge that, oh my gosh, I'm full of emotions. My fingers were itchy. You know, I really...
You just wanted to create.
To create. But that time was not clothing, was not craft, was nothing, was absolutely canvases. So this is how, so for me, Russia was very inspiring, I would say, very dear to my heart. If you open my heart, you will feel there is a Russian bit there as well.
Sure.
And I learned the language as well.
Oh, really?
Yes. We stayed 4 years, so I'm the kind of person, I feel that language does break the barriers.
Okay.
If you live in a country and it's the main language.
Sure.
You know, it's good to do that effort. And I love languages. So, yes, after 4 years, I was speaking pretty good Russian, I would say, and speaking Arabic with all the sounds. We have the kh, the sh, the sok. We have so many strange sounds. It made it easy for me to pronounce Russian language. So yeah, it was really nice.
In this quest, obviously it fueled everything that we're going to talk about that you were doing now. But where did you settle next? So you're
in Russia.
So you're in France. You're doing a bit of studying. You're from Morocco. Now London happens.
That was
Russia.
After Russia, no. I didn't live at that time in London. Just visiting, but I lived after. So after France was Russia. After Russia was beautiful South Africa.
And how did you come to decide that of all the other African countries that I haven't been to, this is the one that we're going to go to and see?
Well, it was my husband was... Well, I mean, we came with him for his work.
Oh, okay.
So it was a new post for him here in South Africa, and we loved it. We loved it. We had three fantastic years, and I had my first baby actually here. So, yes, I had, you know, South Africa has always been with me since then.
Sure,
I have my South African baby.
Sure.
Yeah, and we stayed 3 years. So it was a lot. I did, back then, I was, of course, painting. I did even ceramic. I did, so as I told you, Russia brought all this in me. Everything that was inside of me came out. And then since then, I just wanted to explore. And I was exploring, and I have been exploring, you know, from painting to ceramic to sculpture to decoupage to, you know, and of course, clothing, designing. It has been a beautiful journey.
So South Africa, you only stayed here for 3 years?
3 years at that time, yeah.
And then moved back to Europe?
We moved to UK.
Okay.
That time, and where we stayed 6 years. And then where I had my second baby.
Oh, really?
So every time I was moving.
Very international relationship. Moroccan born.
Yes.
Your husband is French. One of your babies is South African. The other one is was born,
born in English. In England.
In England.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Sheesh.
And we stayed there. And UK was, again, another amazing country. Beautiful impact, again, on my artistic journey, I would say. I was lucky to do quite... I mean, many exhibitions, and what was lovely was, you know, the UK, there is this, how can I say, the artistic life is so rich as well.
Okay.
So I was really, really spoiled, again, another time after Russia and South Africa. And after the UK, we again moved to Switzerland.
Okay.
And again, my third baby came. But then we stopped, you know.
So essentially everyone,
every move,
everyone in the family is from a different country.
From different countries, yes. But love.
That is so interesting. That is so interesting. Do you think that with looking at now your design aesthetic and the use of color comes from, you know, your being this traveled,
absolutely,
having had these rich experiences,
absolutely,
and you know that's what you want to put out now to people to experience that with you.
Absolutely, this is. I mean, there is no doubt that my art. When I say my art, because I consider my clothing as well as artworks.
Sure.
I mean, when I say art, it means fashion and art, is truly the fruit of all those travels. You can feel the impact. You can see the. You can feel the colors. Every single country I lived impacted me somewhat. And that's in me, in there. When I do my fashion, I always start with artwork. When
okay.
I do my artwork, it's I do paint emotions from within,
okay,
from my past, around me. So this is, when I say my past, is my life in all these different countries.
Sure, sure.
And it's only then when my artwork is done, that piece of art will inspire me to design whatever comes to my inspiration at the time.
Wow.
Maybe a dress, maybe a design, a piece of clothing, I would say.
Sheesh. So, and you're the only designer I've read about or heard of that does that. So you paint, that inspires the kind of garment that you're going to create.
Yeah,
then you create the garment, then the painting goes on the garment.
Because normally designers would start with, okay, they have, they do their patterns.
Sure,
and
sure.
They will source their fabric and they will buy it and they will, me is the other way around before thinking of any design actually or retouching pattern or whatever. It's the art that inspires me. So I know that, for example, I won't tell you what I'm doing for my next SA Fashion Week, but it is, I'm already now doing the artwork.
Oh, okay.
That's the first step I do, is the artwork. That artwork, actually, once it is done, it becomes for me the muse for what I'm going to be doing.
Wow.
For my collection, actually, and deciding the colors and everything.
So when did you transition from being a painter, selling paintings at, you know, auctions in Europe and sculpturing to now producing a clothing line?
It's not, I mean, I'm still doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been in me, I would say, for the last, I would say, perhaps 6 years, been working on it, you know, because how it happened is that, you know, I found that I was much more involved in the art and painting and being as an artist, sculptor, whatever. But I was doing things for me, but I wanted to use my art and doing it for the public. You know, I wanted to use my art and actually offer women a fun experience, something unique, different. And knowing actually the, I would say, the impact and the effect of art on us as individuals, on our moods, you know, makes us happy. You know, you put art on you, you put colors, you feel happy already. So I wanted to do that. I wanted to bring my art, design, you know, do like wearable art that can be fun, nice, but still exclusive, you know, because art, you have to be very careful. You don't want it to be mass production. You don't want it to be everywhere. So this is why my creations are always limited editions. And the artwork I use are real artworks. I do like oils, my oils, canvases.
Wow.
So these are real, real artworks. It's not like script.
Very intricate processes.
So it's a real artwork. So it has to be used the right way. And that I'd never rush in. It has to come to me. So when it is there, when it's done, I get inspired from it with where I see it. Do I see it on the back of a garment, on the front?
On the front.
Is it going to be on a skirt? Is it
going
to be on... It's I love that journey, you know?
Tell me this. So now we're comparing, we're positioning two things within the fashion industry, right? It's mass production and fast fashion with fine craftsmanship, which I feel you fall into the latter. Let's talk first about the benefits of fine craftsmanship versus mass production. I know you mentioned one of the things is exclusivity. What are some of the other benefits that, you know, your consumers get out of, you know, choosing your fine craft?
Well, I offer my customers something original, something... when I say limited edition, I don't mean one design.
Okay.
But what I say limited edition would be perhaps never went over 20 garments and the same artwork, perhaps, or 30. So it's still limited edition. I can go up to perhaps 50 or something, but never above that. Because for me, because it's art and I can use the same design, but different art. So that's if you walk, you're sure you're not going to be the next woman in a restaurant.
Walking
is not going
to be wearing the same thing.
Will be weird, and it's not at all what I want to, through my fashion. But what I offer them is something different, something exclusive, something original, and I'm very strict on the fine crafting as well. The finishes need to be perfect.
Perfect.
I'm very, very strict on that. I can be a pain in that because it needs to be right. I don't like not straight hems. It needs to be the perfect, because what makes a beautiful garment is not only the outside aesthetic, but the inside.
You
should be able to say, you know, touch it, say, oh, it's nice. You
this
know,
is
don't
beautiful.
See, don't see all these
problems.
So it's very important that it is beautiful from inside out.
So exclusivity, originality, it's fine craftsmanship, it's quality.
Quality as well, and happy colors.
Happy colors?
Yes.
Okay. So the psychology of colors as well comes into play.
Because
you're very conscious about that.
I am, because I think colors do beautify our lives.
Yeah, it's true.
Make you happy, make you feel happy, make you feel positive, make you feel ambitious, make you feel confident. All these feelings make you perform better, live better, make you feel better, because you think you feel better, you feel as well, you look better.
Sure.
So it's like a circle.
Yeah.
It doesn't stop.
Everything
feeds on to the
next thing.
Because of the colors, because of the art. When I say colors, it's the art as well. So actually, I see my designs. Once my artwork inspires me to specific piece of clothing, then I will use that artwork, of course. But then I tend to build my garments as if I'm painting.
Okay.
I try to frame it, use, you know, one of the colors, building it. So it's a process of building it. This is why you will find my garments, they have, and I play with texture as well. So you will find different texture layers of fabric. You know, even if I use my chiffon, you will have like two layers of two different colors, one on the other. And I know that many designers don't like work with chiffon and satin chiffons.
Sure.
It's very hard to work with because it's not easy to sew. It's not easy to give a beautiful finish. But I love it. It's very flowy. It's very feminine. It's very flattering for a woman, I would say.
I will get to that because there's certain things that I noticed about your previous collection that you're going to take us through. But my question before we get into that is, what are some of the problems that come with fine craftsmanship versus mass production?
Oh, and versus the fast fashion.
Yeah, fast fashion, yes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you have, if I speak about consumers, for example, there are two kinds of consumers. The ones who want to invest in, when I'm speaking, invest, I mean, one of my outfits are not that expensive when you think that it's big. But still, people think investments, even the minute it's over 1,000 rand, it's an investment, you know?
Sure.
Some people, they like investing certain money, thinking, oh my gosh, it's art, it's beautiful, it's going to be exclusive, whatever. But others, not only my range, but any, you know, I would say more or less high-end, good quality, they will prefer to go to Zara or to H&M. And that price, they will have three garments and four garments. And you see what I mean? This is the sad reality that is everywhere, not only in South Africa, but it's in the world, actually. So for me, it's very sad because we all know that I have nothing against, sorry if I said this name, but fast fashion normally says the labor is not great. You know, they do hundreds and hundreds and big numbers. And normally most of people, we know that even the where they work, the conditions
are not well. Zara, there were allegations that they were not paying the employees in Istanbul.
Exactly. So whereas we designers here, we have our own studios, our own people that we look after them. That you see, it's a teamwork and we don't have big teams. I mean, if I tell you, I have very small team because want to actually, I don't want to delegate much. I can delegate the sewing.
Sure.
That's the only thing. But all the rest is me.
Sure.
Because it's me, it's my designs, it's my art. And I don't want, and I don't think anybody can do it for me.
Sure.
Patterns as well. Patterns, I can always do sketches and delegate, but still it needs to be my design.
Sure.
You see what I mean? So it's most designers, they work in small teams. So it's not fast fashion.
And I can feel the energy, you know, from where you're sitting about your love for this industry and what you are doing and your contribution to the industry and to the world at large, because
and to Africa. I'm a real African, and I'm proud of being African. And I feel Africa in me. I feel Africa in me, around me. You know, all those colors. You know, it's Mother Africa. Morocco is Africa. I'm very happy of being. I think I owe my creativity and my colors to this beautiful continent.
Wow.
And to this my beautiful country, Morocco. So
how do people get a hold of you and your brand?
Well, my brand, you know, you can get me through very... I've been very careful and selective of where you can find me.
Mm-hmm.
You can find me in my showroom studio, which is at Mulberry Hill Park at Dainfern, Broadacres.
Mm-hmm.
People can email me, lubna@luayuart.com. I haven't been yet. I'm still not yet on online, like e-commerce. Every time I'm thinking I should, because everybody is asking me, but I'm like, should I? Because what I do, there's a story, it's tactile, you need to touch, you need to feel.
Sure,
it's the same thing why, for me to be in a boutique, I need to feel the boutique. I need to, because there's a story. It's my child brain, as we say. I mean, it's something that came. It's something that's
and it's
going
to get lost in the noise, and it's going to get lost
I don't want it
just
to
be being a digital thing.
Yeah. So this is the, I mean, so many people are asking me why online, but I have a website, which is www.loayuart.com, Instagram, loayuart and creations. And on my website, there are all the details. People email me. I do a lot of orders by email.
Okay.
And made to measure. People call me. They see on my website, on my Instagram, or on my Facebook, which is loayuart and creations. They will tell me, okay, we want that. They send me measurements and I do it. And I even send overseas. So, yeah, I mean, you don't need to be really online to, you know, now through websites you can do
everything.
Everything, absolutely.
Awesome. Thank you so much for chilling with us and joining us on the show, and for your inspiring journey. All the best with everything that you're working on next.
Thank
for
you.
For our listeners, it's at Simply Bongani across all social media. From us at the Youth Leadership Platform and the team, it is good day and God bless.
Thank you, Bongani.
This is CliffCentral.com.